All right, we're going to read about a man who was quite a father in Genesis chapter 28, in the last part of the chapter in particular, beginning with verse 10 of Genesis 28, Jacob, whose other name was Israel. And Jacob was quite along in years before he became a father, but that didn't prove a great hindrance because he became a father of quite a number of children. So we're going to read beginning with verse 10 of Genesis chapter 28, and let us give our careful attention to God's holy word. Genesis 28:10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. Doesn't sound very comfortable, does it? And lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Amen. So closes this 28th chapter, and we trust the Lord today that we would know His presence, especially as we meditate upon His Word, that God the Holy Spirit, who indwells the believer, that He would fill us this day with His power and with His grace and with understanding for Jesus' sake. Jacob was forced to flee from home. His older brother, you remember, was threatening to kill him. Now, I have said before, and I'll say it again, that we do not advise anyone here to follow Jacob's or his mother's methods to obtaining blessings. Now, having said that, I have to admit that neither God, nor the Bible, nor Isaac accused Jacob or Rebekah of any wrongdoing. The only chastening that we can even discern that they received was, first of all, Rebekah's loss of her beloved son for the rest of her life. And secondly, Jacob's necessary exile from home and family with all of the hardships, including a stone for a pillow, all of the hardships that he had to endure for the years that he was away. Now, we do clearly see the mighty hand of God blessing and prospering Jacob. There is no doubt about that. This morning, in surveying the last part of this chapter, I believe that we have set before us three things. Jacob's departure, Jacob's dream, and Jacob's duty. So first of all, I want to consider with you Jacob's departure. Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, we don't know what Jacob's attitude was, what his feelings were, what the condition of his spirits were when he left home. I wonder, was he full of joy at the prospect of meeting more of the family and even getting married? Or was he downcast, discouraged, and forlorn at having to leave home? Well, by the time he reached the point that we've been reading about, he had covered 55 miles from Beersheba to what became known as Bethel. Now, that most likely was not done in one day. So he had known some of the weariness of traveling already. By that time, he may have felt tired, lonely, and hopeless. Although God spoke only blessing to Jacob in that dream and in all his communications with him following, we have to wonder if Jacob was not even at that point reaping from his and his mother's schemes. Of course, God had chosen and he had purposed for Jacob the birthright and the blessing. But had Jacob and Rebekah really been patient? Had they been waiting on God? Had they been waiting to see God work out his sovereign purposes and decrees? I say that they were not very patient in waiting on God to see him work. They were taking it into their own hands. And Jacob had certainly lost all of the basic comforts of home. He was alone in a howling, danger-filled wilderness, making his bed under the open canopy of heaven with nothing but a hard stone for his pillow. It's often when we are alone, when we're afraid, when we're weary, and when we're hopeless, that the Lord draws near to such needy souls as ours. The absence of man sometimes means the nearness of God. You know, trials for God's people are always lined with God's grace and with his goodness. And Jacob, just like the rest of God's people, had to be brought low before he could safely be exalted. He had to be brought low. God's hand was upon him. Now, from Jacob's departure, we turn to his dream. Look at verse 12, if you would, please. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord, that is Jehovah, stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. You see that? It's so clear. The blessing of God upon that man. God revealed to Jacob a ladder in his dream. A very strange dream. A ladder set up on earth whose top reached all the way to heaven, where God stood at the top of it. Now, isn't that amazing? This has been an amazing portion for me to consider. So I preached on it Wednesday night in the prayer meeting. I spoke on the ladder and I asked two questions. What was the ladder? And what did the ladder do? Or what was the purpose of the ladder? The answer to the first question is, the ladder is Christ. We're going to prove that from the scriptures. The ladder is Christ. The only way, the only conveyance from this sinful earth to God's holy and eternal heaven is this ladder. Jesus said, I am the way. The Greek word literally is, I am the road. The only road, the only means of conveyance, the only way to get from earth to heaven, where God is eternally blessed. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 51, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed very early in his ministry that he is the ladder. If you want to read that verse in John's Gospel, it's right at the end of the Gospel of John, the first chapter. First chapter, the last verse. Nathanael, you remember, had been sitting under the fig tree, and he was quite a few miles away. And when he came to Jesus, he was introduced to Jesus, and Jesus said, yep, here's a man in whom there's no guile. Here's one we can trust. And here is a man that was, I saw him when he was sitting under the fig tree. Wow. He said, this is God. He saw me sitting under the fig tree over where I was, miles away. And Jesus said, you're going to see greater things than this. In verse 51, he saith unto him, verily, verily, that's the name of the Lord. He is the Amen. Amen. I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. Who is the ladder? The Son of Man. There it is. Christ clearly said that the time would come when the heaven would open up and the angels of God would be seen ascending and descending upon the ladder, the Son of Man. It is through His mediation. Now this ladder, I think it was the old commentator Matthew Henry that said very obviously the ladder represents Christ in His mediation, as our mediator. It is through His mediation that the angels minister to and minister for the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14. This dream of Jacob's came from God. It wasn't something that just rattled up in his brain as something he'd been thinking about as he walked across the desert and saw mirages or ladders. It wasn't that. It wasn't something on the hard drive replaying before his mind in his dream. Not that at all. The dream came from heaven. God was communicating and revealing Himself to him. That was one of the means that God spoke through to His people in Old Testament times, through dreams and visions. God had sent this dream. God, long before Jacob was ever born, had ordained the mediator, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 12 says, behold, a ladder set up on earth. Here's something to look at. Behold this ladder. Because in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Our Savior Christ was born of a woman. That ladder, we read in verse 12, was set up on the earth. Set up on the earth. That ladder was first set up on the earth as a little baby boy, Jesus our Lord. Here is His true human nature being depicted, set up on the earth. Although He came from heaven, He was incarnated. He took to Himself a true body and a reasonable soul. This ladder's top, however, reached all the way to heaven. No mere man could do that. No mere man could be that. Only God can span the great gulf between this sinful earth and the holy heaven. Here then is the divine nature of Christ, God manifest in the flesh, reaching all the way to heaven, spanning this great gap. Here is our Savior from sin. God has come from heaven to save us from our sin. Sin is such an ugly thing. Sin is such an evil thing that it took God to come from heaven to save us from it. How terrible are the effects of sin. Sin reaches into heaven and awakens the fierce wrath of God. Sin extends down into hell and kindles the inextinguishable flames. Who then can bear away from us the awful effects of sin? Only Christ can remove from us sin's wages, sin's guilt, and sin's miseries. Because Jesus Christ is God, His precious blood alone blots out, removes, and atones for all our sin. Most people are unconcerned about their sin. What is sin? One of the questions in the Shorter Catechism. What is sin? Sin is any want of, is any transgression of the law or any want of conformity to that law. It's not just breaking the law, it's a failure to fulfill the law. And I'd say that not one of us here have ever fulfilled the first commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. And then our neighbor is ourselves. But most people are unconcerned about their sin because most people are actually dead in regard to spiritual things. They are dead in their understanding to what sin is. They are content to trust in a flimsy shelter of their own construction. What they have hastily thrown together of their own goodness, of their own sweetness, of their own good works, of their own merit. But it will be suddenly swept away. Brother Jerry and I had the privilege of trying to help an elderly lady with some of the destruction around her home in Langtown on Friday. And as we were working, there was this awful flash of lightning right almost above us. And so we were working right at the door of the storm cellar. There was all kinds of mud that had ended up on the steps of it when a tree fell. And so we got inside this lovely storm cellar. And I mean lovely because there were 20 people that were in it the day of the storm. And there were people killed all around them. I mean, this was right in the middle of where the storm came through. And we were sitting there just inspecting this, you know, the walls. I mean, it was well built. And there were benches on each side. There was a bench in the middle. And 20 people had been in there. And we were inspecting it and thinking about the construction of it, how solid it was. And even the door, I was amazed that the door swung out and it only had, you know, like a hash. He'd hang a lock in, put the little thing over, and had a screwdriver, a little skinny screwdriver stuck in there to hold the door closed. And I'm thinking, wow, it's amazing. But it had these walls that went up on the outside of the door, so it wasn't like the door was just directly exposed to anything that would hit it. So we were sitting there thinking about that and how solid, how strong a refuge that was, because it was right in the middle of an F5 tornado. Right in the middle. I mean, it was like Jerry said, we were at the intersection and where the grocery store, Mays Grocery, used to be. We were right there. And it was almost like that tornado was aimed exactly for that crossroads. An F5 tornado. And there, this shelter was even facing the south. It wasn't facing the southwest, but facing directly south. And I'm thinking, this is, you know, I would love to have it facing another way. But how strong it was, it proved to be the shelter and the means of saving the lives of all those people. But you know, there are a lot of people who are trusting in a very flimsy shelter that they have quickly thrown together of their own good works, of their own merit, of their own goodness, of their own kindnesses and sweetnesses. But understand, it will all be swept away. Only the goodness, the sweetness, the good works, and the merit of Jesus Christ can give you a shelter and a safe refuge from the awful storm of God's wrath that is coming one day. It is only Christ that can deliver you from the sin-hating Jehovah. Well, Jacob had a dream, and that dream convinced him of his duty. He said, the Lord Jehovah, in verse 16, he said, surely the Lord is in this place. I've had a meeting with God. God has been here. The Lord has met with me. And this requires something of me. Jacob set up a pillar, a stone, and poured oil on it as a memorial. This marks the spot where God revealed Himself to me. It was a place to be remembered. It was called Bethel, or Bethel, the house of God. Beth meaning house, and El God, the house of God. Jacob vowed to the Lord. He looked on that as a part of his duty. He vowed a vow to God. And you know he kept that vow? It was such an impressive thing, meeting with God as he did there, that he made promise to God. And he kept the promises he made. He said, God, you're going to be my God. I'll worship you. I'll serve you. I'll belong to you. And even those things that I possess, verse 22, he says, what I possess belongs to you, and to you will I give the tenth, the tithe of all that I possess. So I believe that Jacob was very impressed by that dream, having departed from home. He was convinced of his duty because God had revealed himself to him in that dream of that ladder. And seeing the angels ascending and descending and God standing at the very top of it. He never got over that. What about our duty, dear Christian? We see the ladder set up on the earth. It's set up on the earth. And what is a ladder for? A ladder is to get on and to climb. And we are to mount up above a fallen, cursed world. We are not to love the world. We are not to love its fashions, its maxims, its principles. Our feet set on a ladder are no more resting on the earth. The one who is in Christ is in a very real sense no longer of the world. The one who is in Christ is above the world and no longer a part of the world. Listen to what Jesus said in John 17:16. ye are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Wow. That's what Jesus said. I ask you, is your life such a life, an ascending life? Are you in an upward movement? Are you in motion upward? The believer rises step by step from grace to grace, growing in grace, growing nearer to the Lord. Are you wrestling on upward by faith? Christians are to be daily actively digging into this great mine of God's holy truth. We are to be digging daily into this great mine of truth. We are to be scattering abroad to others the riches that we find in God's Word. So Christians, we have a duty because of this mighty reality in Jacob's dream. There is a ladder. I tell you, there is a way. There is a ladder that leads from earth to heaven. It is not a thing. It is a person. It is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ who has spanned this great gap. But it does require duties of us. Dear soul here today, if you're here without Christ Jesus, understand that you will never ascend into heaven unless you come to Him by faith. He came into this world to seek you and to save you. And you must seek Him if you are to ascend into heaven by Him. He who is the King of the universe came down to this earth. For 33 years, He became the lowest of the lowly in order to redeem you. He who is Jehovah's fellow became a true human and was made sin for you and sin for me by having our guilt laid upon Him in order to rescue us from everlasting destruction and from our sin. Jesus Christ is Almighty God, full of wisdom, love, and power to deliver your soul. I urge you, if you do not know Christ, if you do not have a settled peace and assurance that you are in Him, get to Him today. While you have the opportunity, call upon Him while He is near. Believe what the Scriptures tell us about Him, or you will die in your sins. May He give you almighty grace this day, even to enable you to repent, turning from your sin. And may He give you grace to believe on Him, turning to Him by faith for His own name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. We thank Thee, eternal God, for the everlasting gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise Thee for the impact that this dream had upon Jacob. We praise Thee even for moving him in these several directions, in the confession and the resolution that he made at that point. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt cause the Word to have a mighty effect upon our lives. Help us, oh God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.